Come on. The Hit List.
KMFM.
First of all, welcome back to KMFM.
Thank you.
I feel like you've been on enough times to earn like friend of the station status. So I'll send you the plaque in the post.
Cheers, man.
We don't normally send plaques off, but it's a very special case. So the new single, amazing, by the way. Heard it today. It dropped today as well. It features Charlie Wilson, Uncle Charlie, as a lot of people know him. How did that collaboration come about then?
It started at Jules Holland, Hootenanny, and we were sat next to each other because we were both performing bits with Jules.
What an amazing start to a sentence, by the way. It started at Jules Holland, Hootenanny.
It all began at Jules Holland, Hootenanny in 2014.
That's biography material straight away.
I don't know, it was just an absolute joy to sit next to, a joy to watch, a pleasure to be around, and I was in a bit of awe and a bit starstruck because I've been such a fan for many years. And then I went and saw him backstage and said I'd love to hang out, and I generally did. I thought I'd be punching above my weight asking to do a collaboration with him, and I just wanted to hang out with the guy because he's so lovely and very inspiring to a young artist, you know.
So did you call him Uncle Charlie?
Uncle Charlie,
can we get a collab?
Can we make music together one day?
Is that okay, Uncle Charlie? That'll be my one Christmas present for four
Uncle
years running.
Uncle C.
So I'm guessing no, Uncle Charlie.
No.
Just Charlie. Or yeah. Charles, if it was getting really serious.
Charles.
So can you tell me a bit about the track then? So it's with Charlie Wilson, it's called Tiring Game. What else?
It's been a long grower, this one. We wrote the song in Westlake, which is a studios in Los Angeles where I made the rest of Revolve. And it was a track that I later went to work with Jack Splash in Miami to do a few bits and bats of tidying up of the album and producing four tracks. And I did it. I took Tiring Game to him and we recorded a choir on it, and we never quite got it. It was weird. The demo was so pumping, and then we never quite got it with Jack, so I ended up going to Greg Kirsten with it to get the sound that I wanted, the sonic punch almost that I got with Come and Get It and stuff like that. So it was a long developer of a track, but in terms of lyrically, my girlfriend suffers from insomnia and has many sleepless nights, and I wanted to make a track about, yeah, we stay awake many nights, and I love sleeping, but I don't get much of that anymore, but that's absolutely fine, and I'm willing to put up with that.
Yeah. So the album's out on October the 16th. What else can we expect from the album from what we haven't heard so far?
There's a lot of areas that I've never covered before. But I do it all within my sound almost, but I just push it out in little areas. I don't know, the whole lyrical album is the relationship I'm in now. It went from being a negative to a positive, whereas the last album was just all pretty much negative. So it's quite nice to have that spin almost, and it comes across in the music as well. It's all quite uplifting and great. I wanted to make a record that felt good in the sun. And I feel like I've done that.
Yeah.
There's actually a book coming with the album as well that explains the making of the album and why I wanted to make the album and the hard work that went in from that, not just from me, but the people that maybe aren't respected enough in the industry, like the engineers and the labels and the, you know, everyone that goes behind that face that you see on the album cover, you know.
Yeah, so is it too late to start the book with It All Started at Jules Holland Hootenanny?
Yeah, it's definitely too late.
Is that far too late now? So I was looking for the track listing. One track particularly caught my eye, intro featuring Idris Elba. What's Idris doing?
So basically, the whole concept of the album Revolve is about, I noticed after I'd looked into wanting to make a circular logo, something that was bold and could be seen anyway and became in relation to me after a long period of time. I had this album idea for a thing called Revolve, and I started looking into it. I started noticing the cycles of life and cycles of fashion and music and the cycle of relationships that you go through until you find the one. And then, yeah, I just started noticing it everywhere, and I guess it's not, the concept is about basically breaking that cycle. It's not about joining that cycle, it's about breaking that cycle, that revolve, you know. And my good friend, who works with me a lot, Tom, who is a very, very intelligent guy and great with his words. We were looking at script writers in America because we wanted something big to get the concept down, and I knew what I wanted. We went for many meetings and we got loads of stuff back, and we were looking at getting Will Smith to talk this idea I'd had and make an advert out of it, and it was all getting a bit Johnny Big Balls. And my good friend Tom, I came back from a songwriting session one day, and he'd wrote this concept out with in mind that he used to be stuck in a cycle of life until he came to work with me. And it was so heartfelt and emotional. It was lovely, and it just summed up the whole thing so well. And I just wanted to do it justice. I didn't want it to be all big and ballsy and, you know, too cinematic and too American, and everyone like, oh, he's sold us out now here back at home. So Idris Elba was perfect because he spreads globally. You know, he's a UK actor that does so well in America, and he's a lovely guy as well. I just wanted people that inspire me for being great people on this record.
Yeah, I suppose it's a bonus that he's got an amazing voice as well.
Yeah, yeah,
like very powerful. You didn't want to pick, like, even if Alan Carr was in the same position as Idris Elba in terms of, like, an inspirational figure, I suppose you wouldn't want that start in the album, would you? It's a good thing Idris has a good voice then. It kind of works that well.
So when
you spoke to Gary and Emma last time you were on KMFM, we discovered that you live just outside of Canterbury now, Kentwood.
Yeah. Yeah.
So someone, how long have you been just outside of Canterbury?
Coming up to a year now,
so,
I think.
So you'd say you're fairly new to Kent as well?
Yeah, I am quite new. Yeah,
because I've only been here for like 6 months. So have you made any discoveries in Kent that you feel like you must share?
Reculver. It's this little weird thing where there's a Roman fort by the sea in between... it's next near Herne Bay, but it's well nice, like a little fort and a little walkway, and there was something to do with that. Just right next to it, there's a abandoned place where they invented the bouncing bomb, and there's like loads of little interesting things around that little area. Quite cool.
So you're making discoveries as time goes on.
Yeah, and they've just opened Dreamland again, haven't they, in Margit?
I think so, yeah. So that's straight over there. Yeah, is that where you're going to have your album party?
That'd be amazing.
It would be good, wouldn't it?
Oh my God, that's a great idea. I'm well up for that.
So you came from, you're from Yorkshire originally?
Yes,
What are the biggest differences you've noticed between Yorkshire and Kent in terms of like a culture shock?
People queue for the bus in Yorkshire. What's the difference? I don't know, I've lived in London for quite a while, yeah. So it's quite nice. One thing you do notice with people being closer to London, they do have a bit more wit and culture within them, but there's something quite nice about Northerners discovering the world.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're all together in this where we go and discover the world, and it's entertaining, whereas in Kent they're like, oh no, I already know that, you know, but that's quite cool as well. So.
Sounds like something out of Lord of the Rings when you said discovering the world.
We are. We're taking over, mate.
Taking a Yorkshireman to London.
The Northerners are taking over, you watch.
I'm excited for it. So when I mentioned to a mate I was interviewing John Newman, and he instantly just popped up out of nowhere saying, Glenn, you need to ask him about his obsession with white socks, because apparently he read somewhere that on every single rider you get, you ask for white socks. Is this true?
That is true, yes.
That's 100% true.
It's 100% true, yeah.
And why is that?
Because, right, is when you dance around on stage and put as much energy as I do in on stage, there's no point in ever wearing them socks again or trying to get your mum to bleach them, because not going to happen. So basically, it's just... And do you know what? The hardest thing to find is white socks that aren't sports socks. Gentlemen's white socks are so hard to find.
So you don't get the ones with the little Dunlop logo on the side.
No, yeah, that's what I mean. So when you haven't got much time, you can't find the socks, but you're just nailing through them like there's no tomorrow. So the right thing to do was to put them on the rider. So yeah.
I think it's the best rider thing I've ever heard, because you get all of the big sort of rider requests that are a bit ridiculous. I think socks is good.
It's good, yeah. No, what else have I got? I've got... pair of boxers just so not so I can put clean boxes on when I come off stage.
That's good.
A pair of clean socks.
I won't ask why you need the clean boxes.
Some hair gel and hairspray, and that's it, pretty much.
That's fair. So have you heard any rumours about yourself? Apart, well, obviously that isn't a rumour, but has there been anything that you've ever heard that's been like, you've heard the rumour and you've been like, that's ridiculous?
I once saw that I was supposedly hooking up with Rihanna in the newspaper once.
How was that?
Yeah, definitely told everyone I was. I remember being at a gig, I was doing a gig and I went down to catering and the newspaper was just on the middle spread of me hooking up with Rihanna, and I was just like, hey up lads, I'm in the paper, you know, me and the bird.
Was it that good of a hookup that you've just forgotten it completely because you know nothing will beat it?
it was a funny one. Yeah. It was funny. Imagine, that'd be great.
So is that the only biggest rumour that you've heard about yourself that you've just been like, no way is that true?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the most outlandish one, definitely, yeah.
Okay, so can we confirm today on KMFM exclusively that John Newman did not hook up with Rihanna?
Yeah, you can, yeah. Definitely.
Okay, man. Yeah. Straight to Kent News on it, front page.
To Los Angeles from Kent.
That could be another middle page spread. It was a lie. The Hit List. KMFM.